A character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Hey, we're back, gang. Stunt Granny Audio 182. Back from Atlanta. This is Jeremy. Joining me is Kevin.
Woohoo!
Who's a tad under the weather because we did it up pretty hardcore when we were in Atlanta.
Yeah, I was such a party animal that I was pretty much forced to drink after you 145.
Yes.
Because people stopped shoving beer at me.
Well, for anyone who's listened to these shows, whenever a group of us get together, even if it's just two of us, it usually ends pretty bad one of the nights, and that was definitely UFC night. That was a long drive home, even though it was only 2 hours for us, but holy shit. Nothing like getting last call at, what, 2:30 in the morning, whatever it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the person saying, I'm only going to get one more beer, comes back with another pitcher. Yeah.
Yep. That'll do the trick every time.
Yes, and that's why you get a hotel across from the place you're going to, kids. You can just stumble home. You can have some 20-year-old, 23-year-old kid challenge you, or I'm sorry, ask you to wrestle, arm wrestle his girlfriend.
Yeah,
in the middle
his
of the street.
Tiny Vietnamese girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, but we'll get into those stories some other time, because there are a bunch of them.
Yeah, sorry, my under the weather caught up to my my couch cushions.
So basically, I know this is UFC talk, all right? So if you're not interested, just fast forward about 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that. But this was the first live UFC event for the both of us. Now, you never went to Strikeforce, right? Or any of the ones in Columbus?
No, because when they were... I don't remember what year it was exactly, but it was sometime after Pig Whore had left me in a gigantic hole when UFC was here last. So it was sometime within the last 3 years. So I didn't have the money to go to it. And then Strikeforce was just here in March. But the fact that it was headlined by a women's match, which was all too funny that Dana was talking up the women's division after that, after he'd been bashing it for like the past decade, was more than amusing. But that was the main event, and there wasn't even like an undercard match. So I said, oh, it'd be really cool to see that guy. Like, there was no one that was really worth seeing. Like, I don't remember a name. The only one that I had remembered was Jacare, who had fought Mayhem Miller once. And,
oh, okay.
And that was the only name that I had noticed. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't even like guys that had gotten kicked up out of the UFC or something because they weren't good or anything like that.
Just UFC took them, basically.
Yeah. It was just like, okay, we're stuck with these albatrosses. We're still going to run the events. This is what you get. Now, granted, ticket prices were probably, they were pretty close to a third of what we paid.
Oh, okay.
Because it was $38, I think, to get the same level seats that we did.
Oh, God. Damn, that would have been nice. We paid, all right.
Yeah, but that's how bad the card was. And I even think that they were having problems selling them, and they dropped the price the last like couple of days before the event.
Damn. That always pissed me off when you'd hear about stuff like that. It's like, you know, like, hey, thanks for buying them at full price. Now, fuck you. I mean, it's kind of like signing up for DirecTV or being a customer or something like that. And they go, well, yeah, well, you get all this for free for a year. And they're like, well, wait a minute. I've been with you for 5 years. Why am I not getting the same thing? Well, it's only for new customers. Ugh, fuck. I attacked, but anyways. But in true Stunt Granny fashion and audio experience fashion for the legacy listeners, we were up in the nosebleeds. Yeah. But they were. I didn't think they were bad seats at all. So that was kind
of
cool.
No, we had a very direct view of the ring. And I didn't, aside from the two, and it made sense. They have a camera guy on the four flat sides of the octagon that are up on, and they're up on stools. So I understood that, but the problem that we ended up having, really, because that guy obstructed our view every now and again. But there was also a cameraman that happened to be, they only had cameramen in two locations, like photographer cameramen.
Yeah.
If I'm not being clear. Well, yeah, I wasn't being clear. So we had both a camera guy and a photographer in our line of sight. And that may have been one of the, you know, bigger problems that we had, honestly, view wise.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, for those who haven't been, UFC does something kind of odd, and I couldn't believe this, was the top sections of the arena where we were section 319. And even our section, they only sold the bottom quarter of the top section because they had these giant screens that they were projecting the fights on, which I thought was kind of totally unnecessary, and really, they lost a shitload. I got to figure, they lost a lot of money. And our tickets were $94 with fees. So right there, we paid, five times nine, you know, almost $500. So you're missing out on a good deal of ticket sales in order to have a screen that, in my opinion, wasn't necessary with a scoreboard hanging right above the ring.
Yeah. It I could have seen maybe just hanging up an extra one on each end.
Yeah.
Because they did fill in a couple of the sections a little bit higher where they didn't have screens right in front of it. But really, they did. I guess that was one of the other funny things. Is they announced it as a sellout, but you could clearly see large sections of it blocked off.
Yeah, yeah, that just weren't sold. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I guess for the amount of tickets that they put on sale, it was sold out. But it's, I don't know. I know UFC's making money, so it's not like you can really complain about the business model. But that just seems, I don't know. I don't know where I can come up with this unnecessary. Because I mean, from where we were, we could see the action in the ring, and if they got down into rest holds or whatever, if you really needed to, you could look up at the scoreboard right above it. To get an inside action. I mean, if you're that blind that you can't look at the scoreboard, you wouldn't have been able to see jack shit then, the entire night.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
So why the big screens? I don't know. I know people don't really carry binoculars anymore. I don't even know if they make them anymore, outside of military application. But I don't know. That was the one thing, and I know I kept complaining about it the whole night. Just, you know, from a money-making aspect. But I guess production-wise, I guess their production is kind of how I wish WWE's was.
Jesus.
I guess I don't know where to start, really, with it.
Okay, yeah, because production-wise, I have no idea where you're going.
All right. During, in between matches, whatnot, they would have music they'd have music playing. Like, modern. I mean, it wasn't our cup of tea, don't get me wrong. But it was always some sort of, club mix or, just something like, you know, the big, all the time. That kept you going. So even if there was, a lull in the action, there was always something going on where, when I went to SmackDown, the action ended and it was dead quiet in there. To where, they could have pumped in some sort of music, you know, gotten some sort of sponsor deal It's like, yeah, we'll play your music during like breaks in action or intermissions, whatever else, you know, on the road and announce who it is or whatever else. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I mean, I guess they could have done something. It just seemed to all move so quick, it didn't really bother me, to be honest with you. It's a UFC event.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one you're complaining about, right?
Well, I was complaining more, but no, I was complaining more about how SmackDown does it, and that's where WWE could take from UFC in that aspect.
Okay, okay, I thought that you were saying it that way. I got all mixed up. I'm still a little foggy.
No, that's all right.
Okay, yeah, no, that does make. Well, they, I guess my SmackDown, we had a little bit more there, but I was kind of surprised because video package wise, I think. We had discussed this at some point, that I got more video packages when I went to SmackDown. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know why they just wouldn't hold off doing their Taco Bell-sponsored matches until they weren't on TV.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but even video packages only get you so far. It's like, you know, if you got you got music with an up-tempo, you know, just something.
Right.
It keeps you going. I mean, instead you got to look up. And even with that in that aspect... You'd have to turn around and look at like the Jumbotron or Titantron, whatever it's called. So I know it's just a simple matter of turning around and whatnot, but it's just like, where you can just listen to music and then talk to the person you're with if you're with somebody or, you know, get beers, whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. WWE has enough sponsors that it's, especially musical sponsors, that it's really surprising that they don't do something like that.
Mm hmm.
You know, I mean, what they have, 3 or 4 sponsors for WrestleMania?
Oh, music sponsors?
Music sponsors, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, official songs, all that garbage, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's one thing. I don't know, the one thing I liked about UFC, and this is never going to happen, I like not the non-entrance that they do. I love how close the people are to the fighters coming out.
Right.
Because they're going crazy next to them. And you've got, like, security, whoever else, pushing them out of the way. And I remember when WWF used to do it, and there's that image of Roddy Piper coming out at Madison Square Garden, just acting cocky as hell. And people are just trying to tear his head off, just, you know, and getting... Like, just lathered up, like, oh, my God. And I just miss that.
Right.
So when you see that with a legitimate sport like this, and they're just right on top, where WWE has, what, a 20-foot, if not more, gap with a ramp they come down, and the people are just so far away. You know, and I know the wrestlers, like, move over to shake hands or whatever else. And
right.
But I don't know. I just think they'd be... It'd be much more interesting to have the people closer.
Yeah, and I think that was one thing that did make a difference, too. To me, it seemed like they fit a lot more people onto the floor at their event than the WWE does.
Yeah, and I guess that was one thing. I don't disagree with you. That octagon looked a hell of a lot bigger.
Oh,
in person than it does on TV.
Right, yeah. You know, and I meant to look that up, and I completely failed to do that. And I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah, but I mean, for the sheer amount of size, and I guess, I don't know, we're talking two different animals, I suppose. I mean, one's a legitimate sport that adults actually follow, where the other one's been so watered down to sports entertainment... that you're losing the athletic appeal of it. And CM Punk kind of tried to bring that back, but we'll get back to that later.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I'd like the simplicity of the UFC's package. It was the ring. It was lit. You had your lightning rig above it. When it came to the main events, that's when they really amped up everything. And they, you know, like the lights went out for Rashad and John Jones. Then a little light show going through the crowd. They have like UFC symbol flying all over the place. maybe, you know, we've said it before, but we're just not the audience for WWE, I guess.
So
where you want something more traditional like that, like more sports oriented, I should say.
Right. Yeah, right. We're definitely not in a big part of the WWE's audience anymore.
No.
That's for sure. If they count on someone our age, it's bringing somebody else younger.
Yeah.
You know, preferably a child.
Mm-hmm. Except for WrestleMania. That's when they depend on all the hardcores to come back around.
No.
So.
Yep. And the cage is a 32-foot diameter, allowing 30-foot from point to point. So,
yeah,
I guess the circle would be 30-foot. They're 32-foot there, yeah. Which makes sense.
Yeah. WWE's tried to improve this, but when they came to the championship match, I mean, Michael Buffer, kind of, like, he really got...
Bruce Buffer.
Thank you. I knew I said it wrong. I was just going to keep going and try to ignore it. But Bruce Buffer really does a really intense job. And to see him bouncing around when he's introducing guys, unlike that tool bag Justin Roberts that just stands there and tries to make sure he says everyone's name funny.
John.
Yeah.
Cena.
With that asshole look on his face. Like, look at how clever and cute I am doing this. Like, no, your job's there to hype up the crowd, and you just douche chill everybody. But
yeah, well, and I mean, I think this talking about hyping up the crowd, I mentioned this when we were down there. Is that it just doesn't seem like the electricity in the crowd itself. Because there's an element of the unknown. Well, not even an element of the unknown. There's definitely unknown factors. Like, you don't know how the fight's going to turn out. You know, no matter which fight it was. And, you know, mostly the main event. Like, I mean, I guess, I don't know. You know, I guess I wasn't sure who was going to win, whether it was The Rock or John Cena. But knowing that there was a predetermined outcome... It takes a buzz out of the crowd that you get at the UFC. Like, ooh, what's really going to happen? Is someone going to get knocked out? Is someone going to tap? It's just like, okay, you know, A or B was determined as the winner.
Right.
So we just need to sit here and enjoy the match and find out who won. Even, you know, as big as WrestleMania. You know, it just doesn't have that same vibe to it.
Yeah. Well, I think the closest that it comes to that is, WrestleMania, yes, but what was that? Was it Money in the Bank with CM Punk and John Cena?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was an unreal atmosphere. And that's actually kind of what I was expecting UFC to be like. I don't know, Elise pointed it out, too. It was when we went to the show.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get like that buzz of anticipation all night. You know what I mean?
It's like, a UFC event?
Yeah, I never got that big buzz of anticipation from the crowd.
Oh.
I just didn't. So
okay.
But I know what you're talking about. Like during, I mean, I'll go with you with. The introductions.
Okay.
You know, Bruce Buffer, that's when the crowd starts getting buzzed up. Like, oh, yeah. And even when they just, like, all of a sudden the lights go out, that's when it really happened for me. But I never got that sense like we were at a big event for some reason. And maybe because I was drunk. That's a big possibility, too. So, I mean, my opinion may be a little skewed right now. But,
Yeah, no, I was definitely sober, and I guess I thought it was there somewhat, just, and I'm trying to word it properly, too, to not take away, because, well, and I guess this goes back to your point about the crowds. Like, there isn't as much, aside from the blatant racism, that, you know, cheering for your nationality.
Yeah, no, it was nationalism. That's
nationalism.
That's the correct
that's right.
Idea of it.
We determined it wasn't quite racism, just nationalism.
Yeah.
The nationalism was one thing, but like you don't get that kind of even the Cena sucks, let's go Cena kind of chance. Like it seems like there are more people there like me that there aren't a whole lot of guys that I want to see win. Like I'm not attached to anybody all that much. You know, I just want to see a good fight, whether it's a quick fight or a long fight. I just want it to be a good fight, no matter who's in there. And that definitely seemed to be the case with a lot of the crowd, unless there was some type of nationalism attached to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And even then, I didn't think it was, you know, is attached to the guys as one of it. Because it honestly seemed like that section beside us was one
they were
of the rowdiest
hammered.
Ones.
Yeah, they were kind of hammered too, and just and what we're getting at is whenever there was a fighter with any sort of Spanish, Mexican, Central, any sort of Latino last name, they'd be going crazy and they'd start chanting Mexico. Then of course, people start chanting USA. When it was a Canadian and a British guy fighting, it made no fucking sense. It made no sense at all. So
not even a bit.
But I mean, I guess I just don't understand that stuff, anyways. But like, I don't go crazy for the Polish people. I guess everybody else is like nationalism. I guess I don't even know if we're using the correct term there. I don't think we are, but
yeah. Well, whatever.
It's
still
funner that way.
We're saying
yeah. I guess that's what like our statehood, our state identity would be.
Yeah, since Elise you know, was trying to give me a hard time about Matt Brown going to lose to, what's his name there? Wonder Kid.
Oh, yeah. Even though she's from New York. So, yeah, the Wonder Boy. So
yep.
And
I certainly could have given a crap less whether Matt Brown won or lost. That's,
yeah, no kidding.
It's all great that he trains here in Columbus, but whatever.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is with that stuff, that's the other thing that cracks me up. These guys, like, say they're from San Diego, but they're fighting out of this place. And it's like, well, what am I supposed to cheer for then? If you're fighting out of New York, but you're training in California or whatever it is, just like, oh, boy. And anyways.
Yeah, well, I think some of them just, you know, want to be in the right training camp. And, you know, they just have to be wherever the training camp is.
Yeah,
so that's where they fight out of.
Yeah. But the overall UFC experience, you always hear about these meetings like Dana White has with Vince McMahon or how he's met with him, talked to him, whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
I got to figure it's got to be Dana picking his brain. Because I don't see WWE really, you know, adding a lot of elements to UFC. But then UFC starts adding like light shows, all these real strong video packages to hype up fights and all that sort of stuff. Now, they did it before, but they seemingly get stronger as they keep going on.
Oh, as far as that kind of extracurricular entrance stuff?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, they still haven't gone full bore, because I know that they still weren't allowing, or at least Dana still wasn't big for, like, Mayhem Miller. It just always seems to be an easy one to go with. Since he always had the Japanese dancing girls with him when he was fighting over a Dream or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, he definitely hasn't gone all in, but he certainly takes certain aspects of that and tries to add it in.
Yeah. Well, I guess I would rather not see Mayhem's... Well, some of Mayhem's entrances were fine. Some were a little goofy.
Yeah, they sometimes they were a little overthought.
Right. But... I think there's a medium in between both. And not that you want to become like UFC or become like WWE, or that you really want the two to start to resemble each other, because that's bad for business. But there's something there. One thing, it really has nothing to do with UFC production, emotional promotion. When we were in Atlanta, Elise and I got there Thursday night. Kevin got there Friday afternoon. people would say, hey, how are you, blah, blah, blah. Oh, what are you in town for, blah, blah, blah. Every time we tell them we're in town for the fights, no one had any idea what we were talking about. We go, yeah, UFC. Oh, where's that at? Now, there are signs everywhere with John Jones and Rashad Evans on them saying UFC 145, Phillips Arena, blah, 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 this and this. All over town. All over town. Centennial Park was closed. Was half of it was closed because they had the UFC fan greet there. They even had, and I totally forgot about this, but Friday they even had the weigh-ins at the Fox Theater in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's just...
It was really strange for businesses around Phillips Arena to not know what was going on. Especially because we went into a number of establishments that were definitely more sports-oriented.
Yeah. Especially with Stat Bar. Where else we go? Well, Highlander, you know, not so much. But they were on the other. They were kind of on the other side of town. But even then, I mean, their papers, like the local papers, had stuff all over, and people still didn't know. So I don't know. It's just it kind of just goes to the Atlanta is a shitty sports town. It just is. If you live in Atlanta, you live in a shitty sports town. Sorry. It's just yeah, exactly, and it's just terrible. But
yeah, no, it that was just really strange. And I mean, I guess we didn't really, maybe it's just because we didn't go to that much stuff.
I don't know. I mean, the only thing we didn't go into,
you know, like almost everything when we went to WrestleMania, you know, we almost went to just, the stuff for wrestling. So it's hard to tell, you know, like we didn't get the chance to talk to people. Like we weren't there to just kind of chill out and just run around. Like, I mean, even though we went to go see Joe Rogan Friday night for his comedy show, we still had time to go running around and ask people about stuff. And that was definitely something that we didn't really have the chance to do last year.
Yeah. It also helped that we were able to walk everywhere. Yeah, well, I don't know.
Well,
because last year we were, you know, in Buckhead.
It was
taking a subway with slobs.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of people at our hotel. There was definitely a lot of people at the hotel last year that were at WrestleMania. And I'm not sure how many people were at the UFC event. Like, it's kind of hard to tell because, and that's the other thing that's hard to draw comparisons, at least for WrestleMania itself and the UFC event, is that even though we went to Raw the next day, you know, as witnessed this year, and even last year, they do so much more, and they still have a lot of the fans that come in from out of town going to that next Raw.
Yeah.
So it's hard to really compare the two. It, you know, to compare a UFC event there, you'd almost have to go to just like a regular Raw at Phillips Arena just to see how it is.
Yeah,
how
true.
The buzz is around town. To adequately describe it. Because, I mean, maybe people are just completely clueless when Raw comes around on a regular basis.
You know what? That could be it, too. But it's like UFC, they don't really have a WrestleMania, I guess. So.
No.
Yeah, never mind. But, yeah. But, yeah, so that's kind of just a quick wrap. I mean, maybe sometime down the road we can get into more of the shenanigans. But,
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we were getting towards our goal, which was just trying to, you know, compare just the live event itself. We, you know, if anybody watches UFC, I'm sure that they already know the results. So, I mean, what was the use of doing that at this juncture?
Yeah. Real quick, if you get to the Atlanta area, go out of your way to go to the Highlander. It was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. That was Kevin's choice of a pickup place. That place was fantastic. We got it was supposed to be a pitcher of tater tots, but it came out in just a giant-ass plate. And as I told Kevin, I know it's like a touristy thing, but those were the best tater tots I've ever had in my life. They actually tasted like potatoes.
Yeah, and the we got a side of white gravy with it, and that was some outstanding white gravy.
Yeah, and then the chili there is a must try as well. So, but yeah, you have to be 21 or over to get in it all the time, which makes it an even better place. So, but yeah, the Highlander was definitely tops on that list. So, I guess let's focus on what we're supposed to actually focus on for a change. You know, for the usual, I mean.
Right.
It's been a while since we did a show, I think since our WrestleMania previews. WrestleMania review, actually. We're not going to get into all WWE, just to stick with Raw. 3-hour edition. You know, and at least yesterday, I was like, what time's Raw start? 9, right? And I was like, no, it starts at 8. She's like, why? She's like, wow. She's like, why? It's like, because they must have some contractual obligation to put four, like, so many 3-hour shows on. She's like, ugh, God.
Yeah, it was tough watching that.
For a 3-hour show, and then for the way it ended, to overrun 20 minutes almost? Or 14, 15 minutes, something like that?
Yeah, that was completely obscene. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, why did you just do that? Because right before that, they had run that Brock Lesnar video package that they had already run, what, twice already that night?
They ran it once an hour. Yeah, they ran it once. Well, because, and remember, this is what WWE does all the time, it got some accolades for how good it was. So they're like, well, shit, we did something right for a change, so let's do it again. And we'll do it again, just make sure we get some life out of it. But no, it was totally unnecessary.
Yeah.
The whole, it's like every time they take a step forward with Lesnar, they just trip him. So it never happened. Like, what was with the demands at the end?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, just in general, like, I kind of like the, oh, our head guy might be a head case now. That part of the angle, I'm pretty cool with. Because he lost the, you know, the Rock. And now he has some other big ass kicker coming in that, you know, became more prominent than him.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like that angle. But the Rock got to play himself. And for some reason, they're cornering Lesnar into being just a complete jack-off.
Yep.
It's just like, the demands, it's just like, okay, if you're not some hill jack anymore, or whatever exact word he used, why didn't you just make these demands in your initial contract negotiation?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, then you're just stupid still. And it completely, I shouldn't say completely, but it just, I mean, you don't need the good guys, the baby faces, any more reason to hate John Laurinaitis.
Right.
You know, well, just have him give Lesnar a fine, but make it like $5,000 or something like that.
Yeah. You know? The whole thing at the end just seemed like filler. Like, was John Cena sick or doing like a radio interview? I mean, what the hell was going on? It made absolutely no sense to me. And I mean, you pretty much torn it down. Why all this stuff wasn't done to begin with? Like, Monday Night Raw starring Brock Lesnar. And, like, really? He said he's not here for anything. He's just an ass kicker. In the promo video they showed three times, he made it clear he wasn't there for anything but kicking ass and bringing legitimacy back to WWE. So then he comes out and does all this bullshit? It's like, which way are you guys going to go with this? Because one side doesn't make any sense. It's just like, they're trying to control a situation that doesn't need to be. Like, people don't want to cheer for John Cena. Okay, then don't cheer for John Cena. You can cheer. People want to cheer for Lesnar, or they don't want to cheer for Lesnar. Well, it's the same fucking thing with John Cena. Let them do what they're doing.
And I guess that's where I kind of drew the comparison to Rock and Brock, is that it's just like, just let him do his thing. Like, why is he being controlled so much?
Yeah.
And
But Rock was always going to get cheered, though. I honestly think they thought Brock was going to get booed for attacking Cena.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt if there were some people backstage that goes, all right, it's just going to be this the one night people are going to be pretty excited. But after that, nah. But I just mean...
Okay, I then...
That's how I saw it. I could be wrong.
No, I mean, it's just as valid as anyone else's point.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it... To me, if that was their line of thinking in it, and I guess I'm almost siding with you now because they seem to be thinking that way, you know, like just the way things are getting written, it seems to be that way. You know,
and
there's
the problem. Yeah. There's the problem. They're writing it. Just leave it alone. Go. All right. You're coming in, you're losing to Brock or you're losing to Cena. That's how it's going to go. And then this is what's going to happen after. There you go. Go out and do your thing. The whole reason Brock Lesnar made money in UFC wasn't because he was any good. I mean, come on. He beat Frank Mir, fine. He beat the Cowboy.
Keith Haring.
Oh, thank you.
Beat Couture, who was, Couture. You know, practically half his size.
Yeah, who hadn't fought in 2 years or something like that? Mm. Something ridiculous?
No.
And then,
I think it had been more often than that, but...
It was like a year and a half, I think. Because there was a big contract problem with him and UFC.
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, and then he gets sick. Then he beats Muir, gets sick, comes back against Kane, right? Am I getting this all right? Yeah. No, not Kane. I'm sorry.
Carwin.
Yeah. Barely beats Carwin because Carwin gassed himself. Got his ass handed to him by Velasquez. Got his ass handed to him by Hulk Hogan. And then he's done.
Hogan.
The guy that looks just like him. Alistair Overeem, that's right.
I don't think Hogan ever looked that good.
Well, when you're talking to, like, people at work and you're making the joke, Hulk Hogan's an easy one to bring up.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, so I just kind of went with that one. But, but what got Brock noticed was his mouth. He shot his mouth off all the time.
Right.
And people hated him, so they tuned in, bought the pay-per-views and tickets to see him get his ass kicked.
Yeah, but I mean,
but now they're trying to take away the very thing that got him, like, you know, got him that notoriety in the first place. They're trying to control what he says, and that's just fucking stupid.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing that happened is, and I mean, I don't know how many people came over, but I mean, even Dana White said that he brought over, you know, professional wrestling fans to the UFC. Mm-hmm. And I had watched it before Lesnar was in there.
Yeah.
But until he started fighting the UFC, I didn't watch on a monthly basis. Like, I didn't just go out every month and say, hey, you know what? You know, let's spend our Saturday night just, you know, watching the UFC event out at, you know, bar A, B, or C. After that point, I did. And, you know, to think that those people aren't going to come back and, or at least, you know, some people aren't going to recognize that and kind of continue to cheer for him on the WWE's part now is just asinine.
Mm-hmm. It's just one of those classic overthinking things. It's like, just leave it the fuck alone, let it play out, and everything will be fine. But...
Yeah, because, I mean, to me, they almost seem like they're forcing the Cena split stuff,
right?
Too, like they want to keep him in that position so that they get that Cena sucks, let's go Cena chant keep on going, rather than just letting him kind of letting him change for for the first time in Lord knows how long, you know, let him do something else. Like, it would keep Cena fresh if they let him change too.
Mm-hmm. But Kevin, he's being who he is. I mean, he said it how many times?
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I don't know. We spent way too long on that, but it almost seemed to me, not that we're done, but it almost seemed to me like at the end, I kept waiting for Brock to go, you know what? He ain't showing up. You don't have a match. And they'd never do that. But boy, what a mindfuck that would have been. Like, huh?
Yeah, I was honestly, in a way, I was hoping for that to happen.
Yeah, there's no chance in hell.
No.
Now with the advertising they put into it, no. But what a shock that would have been. Because you can't really, I wouldn't expect people to all of a sudden get mad about it. I mean, does anyone really order their pay-per-views ahead of time anymore? I mean, is this, it's always 5 minutes ahead of time or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, outside of WrestleMania, I don't know if I really plan on anything like that.
Yeah, no. There's no. Everything's instant access now. They should know that. So, but let's move on to another match. Another one that's just getting, to me, is just overthought. CM Punk and Chris Jericho. That's perfect timing. That's perfect timing. Wow. What did you think of all the shenanigans?
That is why that segment, the sobriety segment, I wrote about nothing about it because it was one of the stupidest segments I've watched in a while. You had a guy who, as far as I know, and as far as I've been told, has never drank a sip of alcohol in his life, trying to act like he's drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Though I've been drunk multiple times in my life, I don't think I could do a good job of acting drunk. So when you hoist that problem on top of somebody that's never done it, it makes it even worse.
Does anybody actually have like a good, like, I guess the only time, I think her name's Lori Mann, in a 40-year-old virgin. You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. She's the chick that was in the car drunk. She's like, I want some French toast and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They said they actually went out and they videotaped her getting drunk, so she knew how to act. So I was like, that's kind of funny. But I don't really know too many other people, like, unless it's like just a caricature of it.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, he's staggering. And, like, when you stagger in a pattern, you're not staggering.
Yeah.
You know, when you're drunk or when you're really hammered and you're walking home, like, you don't just, like, lean to one side all the time.
Right.
You know, you kind of weave in and out. And, like, CM Punk is just kind of, you know, going to one side, it's just like, oh my God, this is so terrible. And it was so easy to see coming, too, because, and even the setup was weird, because it's just like, why didn't you have one of the heels tell Chris Jericho that CM Punk was drinking? Why Alex Riley, and I mean, I know Riley's been off TV for a while, except for, you know, maybe a token appearance here or there.
Yeah.
Why didn't you have just one of the heels? I don't care who it is. Have them tell Jericho that he's been drinking.
Okay, now here's where it goes back to acting. I think Riley was telling him that, and he was supposed to project that he was disgusted with Jericho. It was supposed to be like, hey, just let you know, Punk's back there drinking one of the bottles you gave him. Like, you know, like, you look what you finally did, you know? And instead it came up as, hey, Chris, drink one of your bottles of booze or something. Yeah, it didn't make any goddamn sense. And that's what, it goes back to acting. Alex Riley has no acting chops whatsoever, apparently.
Right.
It'd just be easier. It would have been easier with one of the heels, yeah. But I think that was supposed to give you some sort of sympathy for Alex Riley as well. But yeah, but yeah, getting back to the whole drunk thing, though. I was waiting for someone to go, all right, here's a breathalyzer test. And when it blew like 0.00, the cops could look at themselves, and this isn't how it works in real life, obviously, but the cops could look at themselves inquisitively, like, why did he blow a 0.00 if he's acting this way? And then Punk could go, oh, and then he could have started doing it. You know, instead of this whole handing the belt over, give me one more chance, give me one more, I mean.
Yeah. No, it's just another one of those. The WWE can't use its talent correctly. So they just depend upon their top talent to drag out sketches on these three-hour shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a problem. Like, we didn't need that video package three times. I don't care who praised it. I don't care if God himself anointed it the best video package ever. It was just completely unnecessary. And, that segment and just that whole thing was, because it's just like, oh, the other thing that was very noticeable, when they went to look at CM Punk drinking, the bottle of Jack Daniels wasn't even fucking open.
Well, and also, no one drinks Jack out of a fucking solo cup. If you're drinking Jack, you're mixing it with Coke, or you're putting it over rocks, or you're just drinking straight out of the bottle. Why would he go through all the trouble of drinking out of a solo cup and with it sitting right next to it? It just made no sense to me.
Yeah, not even a little bit. So, no, there were just so many problems with that, with the build-up to it and the segment itself.
Yeah.
And, that's it. I'm just like, okay, when are they going to do the breathalyzer? It's just like, this is standard field sobriety.
Yeah.
You know, if all those tests had proved correct and that he was drunk, like walking the line and not being able to recite the alphabet, which I've heard they don't ever do. And really, even the one time I got pulled over at a checkpoint, they didn't make me try to do anything that retarded.
Yeah.
You know, I had had a beer or two, so I mean, I was kind of worried, but you know, they let me go. Like, they gave me an eye test, and that was about, I think they might have made me stand on a leg or something like that.
Really? That's fucking stupid.
Yeah. No, maybe I just did have to do the walk a line test, and I was fine. You know, they're like, okay, you know, you've definitely had a beer, you admitted it, but, you know, you're not legally drunk, so go home.
Yo, that's what I was planning on doing anyways, asshole. If you would have left me alone,
sure
I'd be
those
home already.
Didn't pull me over after I pulled out of the parking lot. I just walked back to my place. I was like, no, you sneaky bastards are probably going to arrest me as soon as I leave this parking lot.
Yeah, you inconsiderate boobs. I would be home already if you wouldn't have bothered me.
Yeah, I would have been.
So,
but the next step would have been, a breathalyzer, like, because that was what they were doing to people. Like, because they had a bunch of people there at the check stop. And, you know, that next stop would have been, okay, if you fail in the field test, you're taking a breathalyzer to confirm. So, if they had confirmed it with all the other stuff, that should have been the next step. But, you know, why would you follow any type of procedure in the WWE? Because, you know, we don't want it to be realistic at all, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I was watching that going, all right. And especially when Jericho came out, it was like, all right, he's obviously not going to be drunk. I just wish that Punk would have had a stronger statement. Like, do you really think after so many years of sobriety, of straight edge, of this, that you think that you sending me a basket, you sending me, like, just bad words, or you, like, psychologically trying to get at me, blah, 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 is really going to do the trick? Do you really think it's going to take, I mean, yes, something like that?
Yeah.
He could have talked about him, like Jericho underestimating his will, his drive, whatever else. Or just something like, do you think I would jeopardize any of this for that, or... You know, just anything. Even if it comes off sounding preachy,
right?
That's fine. But it's a better response than, huh, oh, it's a gotcha. And isn't CM Punk supposed to be bigger, like, bigger, better than this garbage, too?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know he said he wanted to bring back some fun to WWE or something, but...
That is...
Really? This is it?
Yeah, that isn't fun.
Yeah, they fucked this thing up with the two of them from the beginning. So, just whatever. It's just disappointing. It should have just been about competition, but...
Well, I mean, it could have escalated to this point, but the problem is that they started this angle before WrestleMania. If they just... Because, I mean, I didn't even think we said it. If they had just stuck to the, this is, you know, a best in the world thing at WrestleMania, and then he goads Punk into giving him a rematch for Extreme Rules by telling him that he's going to be a drunk, you know, everything starts to work out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, this is an extension of, you know, this angle, and it's a good way to keep it going. But now they've been doing this angle for... you know, 2+ months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, it's kind of getting old. Not kind of, it's getting old.
Oh, it's gotten old. So I'm just hoping that's the end of it come Sunday. You know,
yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, it would be nice if it is.
Yeah. And we've got about 10 minutes left, so we don't go too much into this. Beth Phoenix... apparently isn't really hurt. That was just really good acting. Just to let you guys know.
No, she isn't.
It's an angle. So I was like, well, kudos to WWE for a change, and really to Beth Phoenix for that one, because that was just the dumbest thing. It didn't even look like she hurt herself. But
I thought it was a story. From the beginning, I thought it was a storyline thing. And I thought, I was like, well, maybe she got hurt at a house show or something like that, and this is their way of getting her out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I figured when it happened. Yeah. Because, it looked like a nothing kind of a thing.
Yeah. So just in case anyone doesn't know, that it is an angle. And supposedly it leads to Karma coming back next week, so I guess that's a spoiler. Let's see, what else happened on the show? Oh, Kane... Paul Bearer made a nice return, and then they wrote him off again. I didn't really like it, but I love the fact that he shows up and they kill him off. He shows up, they kill him off again. I just think it's the funniest damn thing. It's a great paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, if you're him, it's just like, hey, we're gonna fly you in. You're gonna be you're gonna be tied up in a chair. You've got to do nothing.
Then all you do is say Kane.
Yeah.
And they push you in the fog. So that was pretty funny.
Yep. Do you want this gig? We're going to give you a couple of grand. Sure.
Yes.
Not a problem.
You want this gig? Yes. Yes. That's fine. Okay. Hey, Percy, what are you doing this weekend? Nothing. What do you think I'm doing? What else happened on Raw?
Maybe getting more fat?
I don't know, for 3 hours, you had Team Kobroski?
Cobro.
Cobro, that's it.
Is what they're going with there.
Abraham Washington made a nice comeback, that was nice.
But that was such a bizarre thing, too. It's just why is he helping a team with a manager already?
No, she's their valet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Even though she's done all the speaking, she isn't their manager.
Yes. Yeah, no, she's just the eye candy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any problems with her being eye candy, but...
All right. We got 6 minutes, so we can either talk about Lord Tensai, or we can talk about Taco Bell. I don't hate one, and I don't really like the other.
I've just been waiting to make fun of Lord Tensai and his gigantic gut for some time now.
It's just ridiculous. I don't know. I haven't talked to Dusty last couple of days because I've been out of town, but he swears he got better in Japan. So I want to get him on audio about this, because I know he's got to be disappointed.
Well, you know, that was kind of the weird thing to me, is that I didn't ever have a problem with his wrestling when he was here the first time around.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like one of those things I'm like, oh, wow, he really blows in the ring. I'm like, give this guy something. Like, the poor guy was teamed with Test the whole goddamn time. Or if it wasn't the whole time, it was way more often than he should have been. And so it's just like, I don't get it. You know, I don't know.
No.
I'm not sure. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, he's not connecting. That win over John Cena was meaningless.
Oh, yeah.
Blowing green mist into his hand and then putting the claw on.
The claw is so 1982.
I don't mind the claw into that, like, really hard thrust down move. I don't mind that at all.
Right.
Just a claw can suck a dick. I mean, that thing's terrible.
Yeah, it was bad in 82 when I was, you know, 12 years old.
Yeah,
six years old. It's not any better now.
Yeah, Barry Windham's offense from World Championship Wrestling was just the shit. The heart punch and the claw. Oof. But no, man, there's no connection. He won, and it meant nothing. He beat Ron Killings this week. Meant nothing. It's not connecting. And I don't know what they can do. I mean, the name's kind of chintzy, but it's not that bad.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. You know,
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm kind of clueless, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not sure what direction to go with him. Because, I don't know, his character just doesn't seem to have much of a direction.
No, they're just trying to push. It's just weird how they try to get people over as badasses, just coming out and beating up people. And it doesn't seem to work much anymore. The last guy, and it was funny they were showing it, was Brock Lesnar came out and did that.
Well, I think it's okay with the Funkasaurus, but it's because he has an extra fun gimmick in tow with him. And he's actually squashing the guy. Like, you know, just physically, like, what Tensai's doing, like, his offense to me just isn't clicking with me.
No, yeah, none of it is.
Yeah, none of it. Like, I bag on the claw the most, but everything else, like, everyone else that does a powerbomb is, I mean, and Matt Bloom's a big dude.
Yeah.
But, like, everyone else is, like, 7-plus foot tall that does that.
Yeah.
And they just don't do kind of that sit-down version that he does.
There's definitely something missing. The manager dude doesn't make any sense. He doesn't really do anything. I don't know. I think Dusty being the bigger fan and knowing more of his work is probably the better person that we should talk to on it. So I'll have to get him on one of these. But, seeing how we still have a minute left, I don't hate the idea that they have matches sponsored by stuff. I think it's an interesting idea. Now, saying that this match is presented by Taco Bell, home of the new Taco Loco, is fine. But saying that this match is presented by the new Tacos Loco, or Taco Locos from Taco Bell, is a little different. It's like a taco is the sponsor of a match, which if you're really high, is just going to blow your mind. You know?
Yeah. Well.
But it's a decent way. It's advertising. It's revenue generating. So in a business sense, it's fine.
Yeah, no, I don't have any problem. I mean, aside from the fact that that match was worse than anything that Taco Bell puts out.
Yeah, well. But, I mean, it's just like Kentucky Fried Chicken or whatever else. And they had it there, but it didn't sponsor a match.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, let's get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
It's our first time back, and my throat's getting scratchy now from talking so much. So,
Yep, I'm almost done with my my vitamin C and Sprite mix. So,
gotcha. All right. So, for the wrap up, feel free to comment or post on any one of our posts out there. There are a bunch today. Just leave a comment in the comment section. If you got something for us, it's stunkgranny@gmail.com. The Twitter plugs are @stunkgranny. I am @grannymaze. Kevin is @thefrango11. Eric never uses his, although he did today for the first time, and it was a meaningless post. Dusty is @dustygiebink. You can follow us on iTunes that automatically download these podcasts, which I guess is what we need to start calling these. Just look for Stunt Granny or Stunt Space Granny. Is there anything else? I know I always forget one thing, but
No, I think you got it covered.
Or I'm just getting good at this and I covered everything.
I think maybe it's just that all of that vitamin C and Sprite, I just really, really want to pee right now.
Gotcha. So I'm going to get out of here. Everyone, thanks for listening. We'll be back next time.
Okie doke, grandkids. I am not going to grab a Sippy Time beer tonight. I am probably going to just grab some orange juice and then go to bed. Yes, occasionally I don't drink. Have a good night.
So, is it this great?